This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 3rd. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, and we'll have a look at AM 580's weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. A Southern Illinois lawmaker is expressing concerns that delays in the legislature are jeopardizing efforts to lure an experimental power plant to the state. It's been 3.5 months since the Senate passed a bill relieving developers of legal liability at the proposed future gen clean coal plant. It has been sitting in the House since. In that time, Texas, Illinois' only rival in its quest for the plant, has made its incentives law. Mattoon and Tuscola are vying for the clean coal-burning power plant along with Jewett and Odessa in Texas. Illinois lawmakers have been working for weeks with the Attorney General's office to resolve legal questions about the liability waiver. The sides say they're close to an agreement. Representative Kirk Granberg of Carlisle says his concern is the perception Illinois lawmakers aren't aggressively and amicably seeking a solution to the issues. The Champaign School Board appointed an interim principal for Dr. Howard Elementary School last night. Meanwhile, the school district is revising its job applications to avoid the situation that led to the previous principal's resignation. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Sheila Donis resigned as Dr. Howard School principal after just 2 months when the Unit 4 district learned she had been suspended from her previous job at a school district in Indiana. Donis and the people she listed as references had never disclosed her suspension, and Unit 4 had never asked. Assistant Superintendent Beth Shepherd says that omission has been corrected on the online job applications posted through the Regional Office of Education.
So that we would absolutely ask a question like, have you ever been suspended from a position? We had already asked, have you ever been terminated? Have you ever been asked to resign? Several questions along that vein, but the actual suspension question was not on the application, and we've added that.
Meanwhile, the Unit 4 School Board voted last night to appoint Dr. Jennifer Howard Busby to serve as Dr. Howard School interim principal. Hinehorst Busby is an administrator at the U of I College of Education. She had previously applied to be principal at Unit 4's Bottenfield School. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Chicago police are investigating whether three elderly patients at the University of Chicago Medical Center were intentionally given extremely high levels of insulin. The Chicago Tribune reports today that investigators are looking into the cases of two patients who died and another who is in a coma. Hospital spokesman John Easton says the hospital notified police after internal investigators couldn't explain the deaths. And Chicago police spokeswoman Monique Bond confirms that homicide detectives are investigating. The Tribune cited hospital officials and a police source in giving details of the cases. The sources say all three patients were being treated in the same hospital wing between May 7th and June 5th, and none had been prescribed insulin or suffered from diabetes. A Purdue University student who was shocked to death in a high-voltage campus utility room may have entered through a door with a faulty lock. Purdue hired Rimkus Consulting Group of Houston to investigate the death of Wade Steffi. Steffi vanished January 13th after witnesses saw him trying to enter Purdue's Owen Hall to retrieve his coat from the dormitory after a fraternity party. His body was found March 19th. Purdue staffers said they found they had locked the door, but the report says consultants found the door did not lock securely unless it was closed forcefully. The report says 19-year-old Steffi died when he inserted a finger into an opening in a transformer. The report says Steffi had been drinking and had a blood alcohol level above Indiana's legal limit of 0.08. An in-home health care provider says many veterans in central Illinois haven't taken full advantage of funds they're entitled to. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs introduced the Aid in Attendance Pension more than 50 years ago. It's available to wartime veterans and surviving spouses who use in-home care or who live in assisted living facilities or nursing homes. Quinn Jackson is the Veterans Pension Plan Coordinator with Addis Healthcare, which provides skilled care services in Champaign and Decatur.
When I'm doing presentations at high rises, senior citizens, the feedback that I'm getting is that people are just unaware of the program. It's not anything that the VA would advertise. It's just a benefit, and if someone was to inquire, they would give information. So it's not like it's out there in the mainstream or that it's being promoted.
Jackson says many veterans avoid applying for the program because of the paperwork involved. The aid in attendance program requires material like a veteran's income background and a marriage license for surviving spouses. It also carries an income threshold and requires applicants to have less than $80,000 in assets. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. You might think that there's very little connection between the game of baseball and the law, aside from certain high-profile criminal inquiries. But commentator Amy Guida believes that judges helped the game along from the start, lauding it against those who questioned its role. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
They say that baseball is America's favorite pastime. That's a phrase that's beautifully crafted in a legal sense. Baseball is a pastime. It's not labor. It's not a morals-reducing amusement like a theater, for example. The law plays into baseball because back in the early 1900s, some argued that Americans shouldn't be allowed to play baseball on Sundays. Here's how a statute in Tennessee read back then. If any person shall be guilty of doing or exercising any of the common avocations of life on Sunday, that person shall pay a fine upon conviction. Or this Texas law. The proprietor of any place of public amusement who shall sell, barter, or permit his place of public amusement to be open on Sunday shall be fined. In one case, the state came in and told a baseball association to stop playing on Sundays. In another, the state punished a man who owned a baseball diamond and allowed its use on Sundays. You can probably guess what inspired those laws and those prosecutions. Nearly 100 years ago, an attorney for the state of Texas quoted the Bible, the part about the seventh day is the Sabbath day and that work shouldn't be done that day, as the basis for the restrictions. The laws prohibiting things like circuses, variety theaters, dances at disorderly houses, low dives in places of like character, including baseball diamonds, he argued, merely ensured that Sundays be kept holy. Baseball, needless to say, wouldn't be a particularly holy way to spend the day. When judges have in front of them broad statutory language prohibiting certain activities, they have two options. First, they can easily slide the activity at issue, here baseball, within the confines of the statute. Second, they can find some way to carve the activity at issue, here baseball, out of the statute's confines. Here, courts chose the latter. What's remarkable about the decisions is the affection the judges seem to have for the game relatively early on. Baseball, the Tennessee court wrote, is distinctly an American game, originating in Cooperstown, New York in 1839, the invention of General Abner Doubleday, who afterward graduated from West Point and achieved honorable distinction in the Civil War. The Texas court got even more schmaltzy. It is known, of course, that baseball is the most generally practiced, patronized, and approved of all the games of exercise, and that it is the cleanest and fairest of all manly sports, and excites rivalry in the youths of our land, and that every village and hamlet has its favorite nine, and that in every village and hamlet many ambitious youths dream of the day when they shall equal, if not exceed, Mathewson, Speaker, Cobb, and others. That sort of emotion should give you a hint about what the courts decided. No, baseball would not be prohibited. Those statutes, they were written before the game of baseball was even invented, and therefore didn't apply. So they say baseball is America's favorite pastime, even on Sundays. It's been that way for a while now, and the law played a small part in making it so. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for Champaign-Urbana today, look for mostly sunny skies, the high around 85 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, the low 65. Partly sunny for tomorrow's holiday. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, the high around 88 degrees. Mostly cloudy tomorrow evening, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low around 68. For Thursday, partly sunny, the high around 85, partly cloudy Thursday night and Friday, lows around 65, highs around 88 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 3rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.